You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
Oh, I like it.
Hello and welcome. Bing is for doing, and tonight we're doing another Grey's Anatomy After Show. Tonight's episode, season 9, episode 3, entitled Love the One You're With. I'm your host, Julie Parton.
And I'm Kelly. And I'm loving the one I'm with tonight.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. We're little in numbers, but strong in spirit. Our other hosts are away hosting exciting things.
True.
But we loved tonight's episode, and we're glad to bring it home.
Absolutely, and there were patients.
Yes, that's what I've been looking for. That was my prediction last week. Finally, we get to see some sick people or people that need some help in the hospital and the doctor's purpose behind being at Seattle Grace Mercy West.
Absolutely, and I thought that because we know that Kepner is back, so the patients that she came to be a consult on, I thought was so cute.
Yeah.
You know, she had lost a lot of weight. She needed to tighten up her skin after she lost weight. And she
right. This lady lost 117 pounds, mm-hmm. and her fiancé and her had yet to be together because she was so self-conscious. And so she came to get some plastic surgery and make herself feel confident and great again.
Yes. And I thought that the way that they handled her and made her feel good, and she was a little nervous because she hadn't been intimate with her boyfriend yet, and they've been dating for like 2 years.
Yeah.
So she was, really anxious about that, and they were really cute,
Yeah, I think that they realized that we all needed the series to lighten up a little bit because mm-hmm. both the patients that they spotlighted tonight had no risk of dying.
Right. Yes. We had almost another amputation, but luckily that one was saved. But this kid trying to sail around the world.
Yeah, ripped from the headlines. Mm-hmm. A teenage girl did that a while ago.
Right.
Tried to sail around the world by herself and got lost in the Caribbean or something like that.
Right.
And so they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to locate this teen, and people were saying, should we really be spending that much money for her to take this trip,
know? Yeah, because she was, what, like 16? Well, yeah. In the episode, the teenager was 16. I think that was about the age of the girl that really did that.
So this girl wound up in a situation where her foot was mangled. They thought they were going to have to amputate it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Callie and they're the one that's going to have to make that call again.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw her toes move.
Yes, she was able to save it.
Yes, the new intern, who looks like she's going to be more of a major character than we thought, Dr. Joe Wilson, managed to see the toes.
Yeah, see the toes move. But unfortunately, Karev wouldn't let her in on the surgery.
So yeah, so Karev's just been like jumping from intern to intern, and it looks like he put a little bit of a nix on that and decided mm-hmm. to strong arm Joe, which could mean that she is his next love interest. We don't know.
But I like that they were able to save the foot. But this kid was ready to go get back out in the water.
Yeah.
With the big risk of losing your foot. I don't know. But when you're 16, you think you're invincible. So, whatever. Yeah, with the foot, it'll go
back. The storyline tied along with Callie's personal life, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just see her reliving that whole experience and seeing it from the eyes of the parents.
Right.
Who knew what they needed to do, but were scared because they loved the girl so much.
Mm-hmm. But they were scared of her. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
They were scared of telling her no because they didn't want her to be mad at them.
Right.
When it comes to the safety of your child, it's okay if she's mad at you a little bit.
Right,
That's...
And I think it was really meaningful for Callie to see that sometimes you have to do things for the people that you love that they don't like. Just because you know it's best
for them. Right, you have to be the bad guy. Sometimes you have to be the bad guy for their own safety.
Right.
Like, for their own good, you have to be the bad guy. So it was nice to see some patience in this episode.
Yeah,
some happy endings. You know, sort of as happy as they could get.
I mean, they both ended up really happy.
Well, even the patient over at in Minnesota with Christina. That's where she is. Yeah, she's in Minnesota, right?
Oh, right. Yes. She's at the Mayo Clinic. Yeah.
Yeah. She learned a new procedure, a new way to do a heart operation versus just doing an easy fix.
Right. Yeah.
She learned from her elders, and she actually was excited about it.
Yeah. I mean, Christina's go-to has been the LVAT. That's kind of been her procedure that she does better than everyone else. And so she's been forced to take a back seat to prove that she could be a team player. And when she finally gave this doctor a chance, she learned a new procedure and she was shocked.
Absolutely.
She was shocked and she is probably a better doctor because of it. And I loved that development.
Yeah. So, that patient, is not going to have as many long-term problems now. And he can eat his, potato dish that his family brought him.
Yeah, that was really funny how they contrasted the people that were coming to see the guy in the hospital, the family members. They look over and they're like, hey, doctor, something that would not happen at Seattle Grace.
No, over in Minnesota, it's a very, very different kind of place. In Seattle, it's very tragic. And over here, she's dealing with overwhelming friendliness.
They're like, potato dish.
So it is kind of nice to see that contrast in how she's, how she's dealing with it.
And a shout out to Mr. Feeney.
Yes.
Those of us who remember Boy Meets World will love the fact that William Daniel is now playing Dr. Thomas. Don't know how long he'll be on the show, but we love his character thus far.
Yeah, I like the interaction that he's having with Yang. I like that, he's not really taking any of her crap. He's still holding his own. And, I might be old, but I still know what I'm doing.
Yeah, and he had one of the only monologues of the episode when he talked about, this is what I do. I spend my life perfecting this procedure.
Yeah.
Some people go home to their families. I sleep on this procedure at night and think about it more.
Well, I thought that was such an interesting thing for him to say to her, especially because of what's going on in her personal life, with everything, let's just jump into her and Owen, because with everything going on with that, it's the struggle. This doctor, that's what he does. He goes home and all he thinks is about medicine and procedure and all of that. He doesn't spend too much time on much else. And that's kind of where she is trying to decide, between running away and going off and just being a doctor versus being a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that was something she needed to hear. And I'm glad that I'm hoping that her character is going to take that in and, kind of think about it, because she's only talking to Owen right now because of everything going on with the crash.
Mm-hmm. And so, speaking of, we learned that Dr. Thomas had also been through a plane crash.
Yes.
Yeah, so major bonding between Christina and this guy that she loathed up until this episode.
Very unlikely bond, It was that I did not see that coming.
I'm glad she has a mentor. And I'm glad that there's a mentor that's finally several years her senior, because it seems like they don't give a ton of credit to the elderly doctors.
Right.
In Grace.
It's like, you're old, you're done, you're doing it the ancient way, you don't. So this is nice to see that he actually showed her something new that she had no idea was possible. Mm-hmm. So that was nice to see that she actually did get to learn from somebody that's been around for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Dr. Weber was, older than the rest of them, but not, that much. And he taught them some stuff, but this is a little bit of a different dynamic, and I like to see that.
Yeah, so that's wrapping up the situation at Mayo Clinic, and we've been getting a little bit of feedback from you guys on iTunes and YouTube, and don't forget, when you're on iTunes, give us 5 stars. It's very easy, and tell your friends. And now let's transport ourselves back to Seattle and the situation that's going on there.
Well, now April is back. Doc Owen went to go get April.
And was it just me, or is she more beautiful than ever?
Oh, I think she looks fantastic.
She looked fierce this episode.
I think she looks great. I think she's because she's been de-virginized, she's a little bit sexier now, I think.
Yeah.
She doesn't look as homely to me. Am I wrong, people? Go to iTunes, let us know what you think. But I think they've kind of glammed her up a little bit.
They have.
Not a lot. It's subtle, but there's a difference.
Maybe they just tried to stop forcing her to be so annoying. They just sort of let her come
into
her own.
But now her hair's down.
Her hair looked pretty. She wasn't as mousy. She knew what she wanted, sort of.
Sort of. I mean, she's still a little, kind of crazy, but that's just her.
So April and Avery picked up right where they left off.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned that he didn't call her.
Right.
Which is such a party foul. Why, bro?
Well, he was about to explain, but she cuts him off and talks about how she's re-virginizing.
You know what? No excuse. I wouldn't take any excuse on that one.
But she wouldn't even let him give one. So she was obviously not taking anything. She's like, I don't even want to hear it. This is what I decided to do for myself. I'm going to pretend like it never happened. You know, I was sitting in my house looking at pictures of NSYNC and praying to God.
So here's one thing that bothered me about the whole April storyline is that she explained why she was saving herself for marriage several seasons ago when she first started on the show. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden she decided to give in, and then out of nowhere they make her out to be a really spiritual character. And I didn't feel like it went along. Like, why hadn't she mentioned that before? She was keeping the secret or something?
Well, no, I think she kind of did in seasons past a little bit. Like, I always knew her character to be more spiritual than the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she talked about it a little bit, but I think there was the pressures of everybody hooking up around her. And then they were starting to, when everybody found out she was a virgin, they started to kind of pick on her. And that's when she almost lost it to Karev. But he was a total jerk about it. And it was heartbreaking for
right.
her. You know, this is a big deal to her. So, you know, I think she kind of opened up her mind a little bit to the idea of having sex because of that's all everybody does. It's, how
right.
do they save lives? They're all sleeping with each other. But
I think I'm sensitive to the subject because I am really spiritual and did do the whole saving yourself towards marriage thing.
Mm.
And then I remember when Izzy went through something similar and she said to somebody, or they're like, why are you doing this? And she's like, it's because it's what Jesus would frickin' do. And I'm like, okay, is she this or is she not? And I feel like sometimes they throw that into a character off and on. And I don't have a problem with that. I just sort of want them to define it and be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is their spirituality part of that character and part of their decision-making or not? Or is it only that way when it's convenient to the plot line?
Well, I think it is in April's case because I think that that is what her struggle was, because she wanted to stick to her beliefs, but then at the same time, it's like being in high school and everybody's teasing you, especially when she was, you know, under everyone else. You know, she was new coming in. They were making fun of her when they all, you know, and the way that they found out she was a virgin. And, you know, and it's kind of looked down upon rather than being something to be proud of. So I think that kind of played into that internal struggle that she was having, why she was going to go be so quick to just do it with Karev.
Yeah.
And then thankfully she didn't. And, you know, she was hip to the fact that he was just not worthy of it. But this whole thing with Jackson, I think, is a little different.
I really enjoy the storyline.
Yeah.
I think it's complex and fun and has a lot of different levels. And it's one of my favorite things that's going on in the show right now.
Well, I think that they're super cute for each other because his character seems like he's a genuinely nice guy.
He's a gentleman.
I like that he was upset that she wanted to forget about it.
Yeah.
And then he kept, well, let's just forget about this too when they're in surgery. How about we forget, like, the patient never came in and this didn't happen? You know, he was acting like a little child that was pounding his fist and kicking his feet because he didn't like that she was treating the situation that way.
Yeah, it was special to him.
Regardless of the fact that he didn't call her.
Yeah, what happened?
But I think he might have been a little scared.
Yeah, he just was so sad about the way she reacted the morning after.
Right.
And I don't know why he didn't call, but he came back in a big way, in a little bit of a confusing way.
Mm-hmm.
When he approached her, after she explained the whole re-virginizing thing, mm-hmm. he approached her. At first, I thought he was proposing.
Oh, I know.
Oh,
says,
I thought that's the
married?
Direction it was
yes.
taking. I thought he was going to be like, if that's what it takes to get with you, then let's get married. But no, he said, I'm not ready to be someone's husband. I don't think you're ready to be somebody's wife.
Yeah. So we should just stay away from each other. But you can feel, like, the sexual tension between the two of them.
Yeah, they're staying away from each other as they're gravitating towards each other
exactly.
with their lips pursed.
Exactly. The kind of staring in the eyes, and you can kind of see it all.
So I think they're like, let's stay away from each other. And then again, right then, the thing that they promised would never happen happened again.
Which I like them together. And I think that I would like to see her character develop in the sense that, okay, she made this choice. She's already done it. She obviously has feelings for him. She likes him. Not to the extent that they're going to get married tomorrow. But I hope that I'd like to see her realize or understand that it doesn't have to be one or the other. That you can nurture something. They can date. It's okay.
I do. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this journey. I have mm-hmm. seen my friends go through this journey, and I just wonder which direction they're going to take when portraying it.
Yeah. So, and I think he'll be a little bit more sensitive you know, to her feelings or something. Or maybe they'll just be booty call buddies. I don't know.
Oh, I hope not.
I hope it's not
I hope
that.
It turns into a relationship.
I hope it does, too. But I don't know. I'm thinking he, you know, she might put a little bit too much pressure on it if they label it. But
they
we'll
do seem pretty into each other.
Yeah, no, they obviously have great chemistry with each other. So,
Yang and Owen, we mentioned a little bit before, but we'll look at it from Owen's perspective. He is being there for her in a big way, even while he's operating.
Well, he always has been. That's been his thing. And with these two characters, I've kind of been frustrated by their storyline because they're never together. There's always something pulling them apart, whether it be from him, you know, doing something or her doing something, but it's been pretty even, I think, on them torturing each other.
Right. There's one of those relationships I could see ending and I could see myself being happy about it. It was born of a place of tragedy. Right after the shooting, they had a quick marriage, and I don't feel like it's been great for either ever since.
No, and the whole thing, well, you know, when it was him and that triangle with him and Teddy and her and, you know, all of that, and then he's seemed like he was really in love with her, but I never really, like, people talk about it, and I was reading some of the things that fans were saying about that whole relationship, you know, that they really want them to be together, and these are two people that seem like they're meant for each other. I don't know if I necessarily feel like that about these two.
I didn't feel that either. I haven't been excited about the relationship, and I've been ready for them to cut it off almost since it started.
She keeps going back and forth, and she doesn't really see it. Like, I feel like he's more into it than she is, and he's always trying to beg her to be his wife.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the way that I feel about it, and I'm just, I think she misses him. That's why she was trying to have him linger on the phone, just to kind of keep him there. And even something that she said to Meredith, you know, when they were talking about Avery and April, was like, all she has to do is hear his voice and be, you know, her mind will, you know, go spinning or something. And I think she was referring to herself when she was talking to Owen, that it kind of had her kind of rethinking things.
So at the end, she said, we just can't do this anymore. I'm here. But nothing about her seemed like she meant that.
Right. And I'm wondering if he's going to do something like make the big gesture and go to be with her.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Let us know in the comments section. I don't see it happening. She said, let's end it, but I don't
but
see.
But she's always trying to end it. She's forever trying to
she's
divorce
strong him.
She's
strong-arming him in every way, the whole
I
show.
Know. You know, and the whole idea about, you know, them starting a family and all that was a big deal. And so I'm just wondering if they can get over, not that what she's been through isn't tragic and not, you know, not dismissing that. And she's really, you know, gone through some stuff. And she likes to be alone and, you know, kind of handle things on her own versus dealing with it and sharing that with someone. And I think that's the big struggle, is because he wants to be there for her and she doesn't really let him. Mm-hmm. Not as much as I think that. I think she's starting to a little bit more, but not as much as he wants.
But she's a country away.
Yeah.
It's just not the best time to let him be there for her. And I'm always on the side of marriages not breaking up and fighting through it. I just think in the context of the show, I'd like it better if their plot line wasn't part of it anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
So I guess talking about the other love relationship, we have Callie in Arizona.
Which is so heartbreaking to watch.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Well, one thing I have to say, that Arizona, I mean, that performance tonight was fantastic from both of them. I think that those two characters are really going to stand out this season just in their, you know, ability. I was tearing up through some of that stuff. And it's just, I mean, I can't imagine what going through something like that on either side of it would be like. I mean, it's got to be horrible.
Yeah, they are sticking together, but It's getting to be really, really thin and strained in the way that it's happening. And you can tell that Callie is losing patience. And you can tell that Arizona knows what she needs to do to come out of it. And she's not ready. She's still feeling...
she's blaming
Callie
for it. She blames Callie for losing her leg.
She seriously cannot carry on a conversation without finding a way to spin that back and stick it
right.
to her.
And, I mean, but you, if you put yourself in that position... I mean, that's part of you. You're not complete. I can't, you know, the people that have to go through that and what they must, you know, deal with and all of that is just, it's heartbreaking because, you know, how do you, you know, from one minute to the next is, you know, your life is completely different and having, you know, to kind of relearn things and all you want to do is scream at the top of your lungs because, you know, this isn't supposed to be.
Right.
And it's just watching her go through that is just, it's sad.
Yeah, it's turmoil. And since the dust settled on everyone dying, we're getting to see a more intimate look at her pain and her struggle with that specific situation of losing her leg. And it's brutal.
It is. It really is. And Callie's trying really hard to be there. But she doesn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing she can do now. And the thing that I'm wondering, and I don't know if I missed it or maybe they just haven't talked about it yet or they haven't, you know, kind of focused on this, but does Arizona know that she was about to die?
I know.
That's why Callie made that decision?
I mean,
it was save her leg or save her life kind of a thing?
She has to have known that. With the amount of time that we've seen them talk about it, that had to have come up.
I mean, I wonder if it, because I don't remember them actually focusing on it. Is that something that I just missed?
No, they haven't said it.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe they're waiting for the big reveal, but that seems like an obvious plot. Like, they definitely would have talked about that before.
You would think, right? So I'm curious to see if that's gonna come up. And I was when they had their, you know, that shower scene and they were screaming at each other, I was wondering if she was gonna say that in that moment.
It seems like a good argument. I love you. I want you here with me on Earth. That's what I had to do to make it happen.
Right.
I didn't want it that way either. Neither of us did. Yeah. Would you rather be dead, you know?
Right. And but, I mean, at the same time, not having gone through something like that, I mean, the way she feels right now, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe that is...
Perhaps dealing with the grieving process, that's where she is there.
Right.
She's like, I can't see myself moving past this moment. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you just let it run its course, like nature intended or something like that?
Right. So watching them and... I really hope that, you know, I mean, we saw, you know, coming up that she's, you know, going to be getting some physical therapy and things like that. And I'm hoping that they can work through it. They're two of my favorite characters. And, you know, I love their kind of relationship and things. And so this is really going to put it to the test.
I do love how strong Callie is coming off this season.
No, she is really standing out this season.
Yeah, she is keeping it together. Through the loss of Mark, through Arizona, going through this major depression, she's still focused on being a doctor, focused on being a fantastic wife, and focused on being there for her baby.
Right. Well, and we actually heard the baby cry, so the baby was around. Somebody had commented, like, where were these kids when all of this is going down? They're always at the hospital.
Did we see Zola this episode?
We didn't see Zola this episode.
That's hilarious.
We saw Zola's toys, but we didn't see Zola this episode.
Maybe they're thinking, you know, it actually worked on me. I second-guessed myself whether we saw her or not, but nope, there was just a bunch of toys.
Just the toys. They trick you. It's just the toys. We heard the baby cry, you know, Callie's baby cry.
But we didn't see that baby?
No.
Oh, it's so funny when you think about it. When you know all that goes into the contracts and having children on set, you're like, nope, just go get some toys from Toys R Us. It was 3 days of work.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the thing with Meredith and Derek, I like that they're kind of not having too much, you know, drama right now. That he's kind of handling the situation with his hand kind of calmly right now. I mean, I'm wondering if there's going to be like a big blow up with that later. But right now he seems, you know, to be, you know, pretty chill and focusing on his family. And
yeah, he seems to be in a great place.
Right. Like, you know, just kind of content. Now, I wouldn't, you know, obviously not necessarily happy with everything that's going on. But I think he's, you know, dealing with it in a more positive way than I would have thought.
Well, I mean, certain people, when they face near-death experiences, say that they come alive in a way that they never had before. Mm-hmm. I had an uncle who had that type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a second chance at life. And maybe he's viewing it in a more positive light. And
maybe.
Loving his wife more and doing all the things in his life that he thought he would have had time for and didn't end up.
Right.
And then, you know, second chance.
Yeah. Well, and then that brings us to the whole settlement issue.
Right.
You know, we see that the company, is it the airline company?
Yeah, that was the major plot point. We started with it. We ended with it. Mm-hmm. The plane manufacturer, or I guess the airline, either one. It was some sort of portrayal of the man or the person who was in charge of the plane crash, came to the survivors and they offered them a settlement.
Mm-hmm. A pretty substantial settlement.
Yeah, they didn't say what it was, but it was a large sum of money. And the only conditions were they all had to be unanimous.
Mm-hmm.
And were there any other conditions? Like they couldn't try to do further legal proceedings.
Yeah, that would be the thing. It's either they go to court or they settle for whatever amount of money that they decided to accept. And they're all thinking about it. At first, you know, the majority of them, aside from Derek, is, you know, well, even at some points he was too. You know, if we take the money, we can, you know, take Zola, go on cruises. Callie's thinking of, you know, of, you know, the baby, she'll be taken care of. I think this is what Mark would have wanted. And Christina just doesn't care either way. She's like, whatever everybody wants to do, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
So they have, what, 3 or 4 days before they have to make a decision or something mm-hmm. like that?
And they all contemplated it and mm-hmm. looked at both sides. And they came to a pretty secure conclusion that that's what they wanted to do. They didn't want to spend the next 4 years in court. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to have a better life for their family.
Right.
And I think the turning point, which I didn't see this conversation being pivotal, but it was, mm-hmm. was whenever McDreamy went to the chief, Weber, mm-hmm. and he said, remember that time the hospital messed up? And we paid a huge settlement. That was our fault, right? Yeah, and Weber said, the bigger mistake, the bigger the payment.
Right. So that got him to thinking that they obviously must know that this was their fault in some way, or at least scared that after the investigation is complete, it could turn out that way. And then the repercussions would be worse than just paying out whatever amount of money that they're offering them. So, Derek snuck into the hangar, went to go look at the plane. And, you know, watching him do that, seeing the flashbacks yeah. of the plane crash and going back, you know, to all of that, had to be very difficult to see it all laid out like that.
So I typically am 100% over the plane crash. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to see it anymore. But for some reason, that scene was moving to me.
Yeah.
Just, you know, looking at the chair and picturing his friend in the chair mm-hmm. or the tail wing and seeing it crushing Lexi.
Yeah. I mean, he made a decision that he wants to fix this issue and not have another group of people have to go through this if they can prevent it.
Yeah.
Let's not just take the money and run. Let's do something about it.
Yeah. So that was a really mature decision and a place that he came to, is that he thinks that they should fully investigate what happened, mm-hmm. figure it out, and prevent it from happening again in the future. Mm-hmm. And so I guess whenever they were coming together, all of them were leaning towards taking the settlement.
Right.
Did you get that same feeling?
Yeah, they were all ready to do that. Meredith was ready to say so as soon as he sat down. And he's like, no, wait a minute. And then, you know, he brings up his points. And they sit back and think about it. And he asks Callie, you know, what are you thinking? And then the moderator's like trying to butt in. And they're all, shut up.
She's like, no, I'm going to get my lawyer fees.
So I like the decision that they came up with. I like that they didn't just take the money. I like that they are going to make these people be responsible for what could have possibly been their fault.
In that situation, I feel like I would have taken a settlement.
I don't know. Well, and Callie made a good point, too. She was like, you know, people mess up, we mess up. And what Derek said is something along the lines of, yes, we do, but we take responsibility for it. We know what happened and we fix it. You know, we know what the issue is and we work hard to make sure that it doesn't happen again, or we find where the fault lies, or basically something like that. And that's when, you know, she thought about it and she's like, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I would have. I think I would want to know.
You think you would have made the same decision as them?
I think I would want to know what happened. Why did this happen? I, you know, lost 2 of my friends.
Yeah.
I mean, what could have happened? I wouldn't want.
I mean, in their honor, you want to do what they would have wanted. And Callie, of course, said Mark would have wanted the money to go to the daughter. Mm-hmm. But then you think about Lexi, and she probably would have wanted them to press on, not take the money, figure this out for the good of society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's figure out how we can try to, you know, help ensure that this doesn't happen again in the same way.
I mean, I would want to hope that I'd make that decision, but just to think about spending all the years in court and
revisiting it. Well, and then on the one side, you want to be over it, you want to be done with it, you want to get past it.
I wouldn't want to
think about it.
I would want to honor their memory, but still be able to live my life.
Well, because, I mean, either way, it's not going to bring them back, but I don't know if I could live with not knowing what happened. Why did this happen? And could this happen again?
Yeah,
to someone else.
The legal counsel for the airline mm-hmm. said, well, we'll still figure out what happens. And Derek's like, no, I know you wouldn't. This is completely different.
Well, even if they did, there's nothing they could do about
right,
it.
So yeah.
Even if it turns out that it was completely their fault, there's nothing, you know, they're not going to be held liable for it. Because once you settle, that's it. So
I guess we are not done with that storyline.
No. So I really want to know how they're going to turn that around and how that's going to progress. And if we're going to find out, you know, what caused. So I that plane crash is not going anywhere. So
not,
get used to it.
I know. Not anywhere soon. It's not that I don't like watching them rise above, but yeah, I just love Grey's Like It Was Tonight.
Yeah.
I could do with none of the tragedy.
I know. I want people to stop dying, stop getting hurt, stop, you know, being, you know, right on the edge of death.
I feel like, okay, like Downton Abbey, not the show, but there's tragedy every once in a while, but the rest of the time is just about the relationships of the people and the mm-hmm. growth that they're experiencing. Like Bailey. Mm-hmm. Bailey there tonight, we didn't know what was wrong with her. She was having emotional breakdowns all over the place.
She was like being the mom everywhere, cleaning up after everybody, like scolding, like really kind of being on top of them. This is not your house, with her little post-it notes.
And yeah, and then her big epiphany to the chief was, tuck like on my hand.
Yeah, everybody's kind of, she's not needed as much. She didn't, well, not that she's not needed as much, but, you know, he was becoming a little bit more independent, and that's sad.
She has empty nest syndrome.
Yeah. I mean, when I leave my puppy home, I don't like it. When she likes new people too much, I don't like it. So I can't imagine how it would be if I actually had a child.
Yeah, so Bailey's like, I'm feeling a little left behind. Yeah. And I feel like those are the kind of struggles I want to focus on. Mm-hmm. I love the characters enough. I love the writing that they've developed these people enough that I really care about them. And I don't consider them friends because they're not alive, but I want to know what happens to them and I want it to be good things.
Right, right. And I think I might want to know the interns a little bit more. I didn't at first, but maybe I kind of do. I want to know why Dr. Joe thinks that she has to cry all the time.
What intrigued you about Dr. Joe?
That she cried. Like, this isn't the first time she cried.
That was weird. Yeah, she's cried several times, and then she tried to hit on Callie to get more surgeries. I wonder who advised that.
I know. So I'm kind of curious, what's her story? I mean, we learned a little bit of how, you know, she went to, you know, she's from the Ivy League or, you know, whatever, but why is she a crybaby?
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
Yeah, give us a little bit more. And the other intern's nowhere to be seen, am I right? There was the one other guy that was
working with Callie, mm-hmm. but I didn't see any of the other ones.
I thought they would be more of a plot point, but they weren't around this episode.
No. So I wonder if we're going to get, you know, introduce them a little bit more or kind of how that goes.
We did get to see Dr. Joe have one triumph because she finally, after being honest with Alex, was able to scrub in on a surgery.
Yes, she was. After she told him, I will never, ever sleep with you. Yeah.
He's like, well, okay. I guess then your point's made.
Yeah, so that's funny. I don't know, but do you have some news and gossip we can talk about for the rest of the season? Do you have anything good? Any spoilers?
Well, well, while it doesn't look like it, because we saw that in next week's episode, Christina gets busy with her boss.
Oh,
that's who that was, right?
I think it was. We only saw the profile, but that's who I thought it was. Because you remember in tonight's episode, he kind of flirted with her a little. Because he's like, let's turn that frown upside down. And then when she kind of awkwardly smiled, he's like, and kind of, you know, may I say you have a lovely smile?
Yes.
And it was a little bit kind of weird.
Right. So he's originally from Desperate Housewives. I like that character, but I don't like Christina doing that with him. But
she's married.
Even though it doesn't seem like it, I did read a spoiler that her and Owen are going to try
spoiler
to...
Spoiler alert!
Yes!
Spoiler alert!
Okay, so now that you've heard the sirens, plug your ears or pause if you don't want to hear it. They're going to try to get back together, but they can't get past the kid issue. Mm. He, in his very core, in his nature, wants to be a dad, and that's a mountain they may not be able to climb over together.
Yeah, so we'll see. I kind of think I would like to see her become a mom. I, you know, she's had, what, two abortions already?
Fish, I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, I kind of want to see her be a mom.
She didn't even want to be Zola's godmom.
I want her to, you know, I want to see her humanized a little bit more. I kind of want to see if she has it in her.
Don't think it's in the cards.
I don't know.
But also, we saw a preview for next week. April and Avery swearing it's not
going
to happen anymore.
Going at it.
You're after Buzz TV predictions.
So what do you think is going to happen with those two?
Honestly, I think they're going to turn into a couple. I think that's going to be the next great romance on that show that we follow.
Hmm.
What do you think?
I don't know. I think they're just going to be a little bit flingy for a while.
I think that they will try to be friends with benefits, and then one or the other is going to meet somebody, and they're going to have to define it.
Mm-hmm.
I would like that. I would go for it.
I mean, that could happen. We'll see. And then, you know, we saw also that Arizona is going to get a prosthetic and try to, you know, work through that with physical therapy and all of that. And I really hope that she'll let Callie be there for her to help her through
that. It also looked like Alex was going to be part of that.
Yeah, because she's still really angry at Alex. And, you know, and Alex feels terrible, you know, because he really does look up to her and, you know, wants her back there.
So my prediction from that is that we will see Arizona at 100% again this season.
You think so? You think this season?
I think it's going to be a great moment. I think she's going to come back triumphantly. Maybe not on wheels, but it definitely in a way that we can all get behind her again.
I hope so.
So yeah. any other predictions?
Well, I think we're going to see Derek explode at some point. I just like that whole calm thing. I don't know if I buy it. I don't know.
Well, After Buzzers, thanks for watching and join us next week for episode 4.
We're excited. So make sure to follow us on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV and you can follow me at Kelly with an IE 079.
And don't forget to click like and subscribe. I'm Julie Partin, and you can find me at Julie Partin, JULIEPARTIN. See you guys next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.